This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Now, our community is consistently reported to be at high risk for health problems, mental illness and addictions, both due to the extra stresses the community faces and also the lack of access to health resources.
National and international data report that LGBTQIA groups are more likely to smoke and that rates are not coming down as fast as for much of the rest of the population.
Today, 1st of August, new regulations have come into effect across Victoria, which restrict smoking from all outdoor dining areas when food is available for consumption. Tonight, we ask how the changes will impact our community and venues. We have on the line Dr. Sarah White, who is Director of Quit Victoria. Welcome, Sarah.
Well, thanks very much for having me, Ian.
Tell us about the new law that's coming in today. What does it actually mean?
So the new laws coming in today mostly will affect people around where they can smoke outside if other people are eating around them. So this new smoke-free legislation means that people can't smoke where food is being served in outdoor areas.
Okay, so what's the thinking behind the change in the law?
So what happens every time we have this sort of smoke-free legislation, it has an effect in a few different ways. So the first one is it denormalises smoking for adolescents who might be tempted to take up smoking. If they don't see it as socially and culturally acceptable and it's something that people do when they go out, they're far less likely to take it up. The second thing is, of course, it protects people from exposure to secondhand smoke and just the pure amenity of being able to dine in smoke-free areas. It's, you know, people don't want to have smoke around them while they're eating. But most importantly, probably, it helps people who are trying to quit to say quit. So smokers tell us that one of the most difficult things when they're trying to quit is seeing or smelling or even hearing a cigarette lighter go off They're trying to manage their own cravings and urges. So that smoke-free legislation, if people go out, they go to somewhere that's smoke-free and it helps them keep motivated and helps support them to stay off the cigarettes.
So in those licensed areas, if people are just drinking, can they still smoke?
Yes, they can. That's probably a little bit of the legislation we hoped would be stronger because what it is allowing is publicans or venue owners to say, right, we're going to designate this as a smoking and drinking area. And we know that a lot of people who try to quit get tripped up when they drink alcohol and they start smoking more or they relapse back to smoking if there's alcohol involved.
And that's so the law that's going to be in place in Victoria is more like Tasmania and New South Wales. Is that right?
It's very similar to New South Wales. I think that's probably the closest. So a venue can choose to have a smoking and drinking area and no food can be served, or they can serve food and then it's no smoking. It actually gets a little bit confusing for customers sometimes. We do know in New South Wales there have been a few venues that have said, well, okay, before 10, you can drink coffee and smoke. Between 10 and 12, you can eat but not smoke. And then, so they have different times of the day around when you can eat and when you can smoke, which isn't helpful, really.
But if food is being cooked or eaten in an open space, then there are restrictions in place. So it might get confusing, as you say, sometimes, depending on the time of day.
Look, what we're seeing is most venues are saying community expectation is very clearly that there is no smoking when people are eating, and even smokers tell us they don't like people smoking around them while they're eating. So we're hopeful that most venues are just going to say, look, let's just make this no smoking for the enjoyment of everybody.
Now, in the LGBTI population, we've got at least national and international data that suggests several of those groups are much, much more likely to smoke, and the rates are really not coming down nothing like as fast as they are for the rest of the populations. We don't really think it's going to be that different in Victoria. What difference do laws like this make for populations where, you know, there's still a lot of people smoking?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting question, Ian. You're absolutely right. The smoking rates are higher in LGBTI communities, and that's a real concern for us and something we'd love to be doing something about. These sorts of laws...
What is happening in this space? Is Quit doing anything in that space at the moment?
No, we're not actually doing a lot in this space at the moment. It's something we desperately want to change. Because I'll tell you why. We know that a lot of the policies that affect tobacco consumption and smoking prevalence affect the entire population, irrespective of anything. You pay the same high cost of cigarettes. You are not exposed to advertising on the television. You do see the mass media campaigns on television. So the population level of measures do help everybody across the community. But what I would really like to be doing is, and we've been talking a bit with Cancer Institute New South Wales, who's done this with ACON in Sydney, is to actually work more with the community to say, are there any specific barriers to reaching out for help to quit? We know people want to quit just as much as anyone in like the mainstream. What can we do to help break down those barriers to get out there and use those evidence-based supports and support each other? So it's really around an engagement, I think.
Yeah. So you think there's more that could be done in the LGBTI space?
Yes, I do. I do, absolutely, in Victoria. Yes, and we're desperately keen to do that.
Great, great, great to hear.
Well, I highly recommend anyone to go and look at their Smoke Free and Still Fierce campaign. It's brilliant. It's so funny and it's so good. So just Google Smoke Free, Still Fierce on the ACON website. It's just terrific. And, I'd love to steal some of their ideas.
Great.
Or even work for better Victorian ones. How's that?
We have on the line Karen Price, who is Deputy CEO from ACON. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ian. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Is smoking an issue for the LGBTI population?
It absolutely is, and it's been an issue that has really been persistent over the last 10 or more years. Smoking in the LGBTI community has not reduced at the same rate as we've seen in the reductions for the general population, and that's a big concern.
So within the rainbow, which groups are you focusing on and what are you doing?
Yeah, with ACON, we've been advocating more broadly for policy inclusion, for example, for LGBTI people in our smoking policies. So the New South Wales, the new tobacco strategy for New South Wales, we're very hopeful that LGBTI people will be listed as a priority population, okay. And that's really important. So at the policy level, we've been advocating. We've also done some specific work for women with the New South Wales Cancer Institute through our Smoke Free, Still Fierce program.
It seems like a lot of people would pick up a smoking habit when they're quite young. Do you think it's worth targeting youth, particularly in the queer community?
Absolutely. We have some statistics that demonstrate, for example, women attached to the LGBTI community in Sydney, for example, are smoking at roughly 43%, and that's a rate that has not declined in 10 years. The rate in the general population is more like 13%. And we do believe that there's a link between smoking and identity. So this idea that LGBTI people are often marginalised, stigmatised, they're struggling with their mental health, they could be potentially having issues with their family and other relationships, and they're surrounded by smoking peers means that, you know, it's not surprising that a number of those young people take up smoking. I can't speak for Victoria, but I know that New South Wales, we're struggling sometimes to maintain spaces for our communities. So for those spaces where our communities do gather, smoke-free zones in those spaces may, in fact, be another deterrent for people to actually go to those spaces. But I guess there'll be monitoring in place in Victoria. Overall, I think it's a good thing. And ultimately, our communities will need to make some choices about hopefully cutting down their tobacco when they're out in those spaces, which, as I said, is probably a good thing.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.